Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Tuesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Willie Ramirez. Willie, how are you?
Well, after a long absence and a long hiatus, I have been back in full-fledged Sporting Tribune mode the last week, haven't I?
You have, and you've killed it as always. We got to come up with a nickname for you. Viral Willie, Trending Willie. Your top story, it is leading the site today, and it will be throughout the day. Chelsea Gray, you got an exclusive with her. Listen, I've been following her for quite some time here in Los Angeles. She was the heart and soul of that championship team. When she and Candace Parker left, that was the end of the Sparks run, and they really have not recovered since then. Kind of bummed that we're not going to see them team up this season. Again, the retirement of Candace Parker prior to the season, and then Chelsea Gray will miss the beginning of the season. Again, she is not playing tonight. But Willie, why did you feel it was important? Again, you've been killing it on the coverage of the league, but this was a story that you were very much looking forward to. What is it about Chelsea Gray that makes her such a key part of this team?
Well, aside from the fact that she is arguably the best point guard in the league, and that's with all due respect to Courtney Vandersloot, who is inching up the assist leaderboard, chasing Sue Bird, and a lot of the great point guards around the league. One thing that I'd noticed about Chelsea during the offseason, in different things that I'd seen her attending, be it, you know, UFC-sponsored events, Power Slap, the Pac-12 tournament, just out and about with her wife, was it was a different aura, a different glow about her. You know, we always talk about women with child that are glowing, but, you know, her and her wife were expecting. And Chelsea was just such a happy, I don't know how to explain it. She's always been a positive member of this team. She's always been approachable, but there was just something different about her. And Becky Hammon summed it up nicely at Media Day. She said, right now, in this time frame, Chelsea Gray is oozing with joy. And it just really, it's emitting everywhere. And even though she's not playing, she's having an impact on the team through the first couple of games, playing the coach's role. But really, she said, with the player's mindset. She's still in player's mindset role. But I really wanted to talk to her, and that she was the only person I focused on Media Day to get an exclusive with because of motherhood. Man, Arash, when I tell you that how it's just sort of changed her or just pivoted her to a different spectrum in terms of happiness in her life, you have to have known her, interviewed her, talked with her, see her, and then now see her, you know, in today at, you know, May 21st, 2024, to understand where I'm coming from. My story sort of depicts that.
What was one of the more surprising things that you found out about this? Again, one of the things that I really loved about the story is that we're also familiar with what she does on the court, but this really gave a glimpse of her off the court. And again, the relationship with her wife. And again, you know this as being a father. I mean, how having a child, how having a son changes things. What I guess was the most surprising thing about talking to her about the mindset change? What changes in your life when you become a parent?
Well, and I don't know if it was surprising. It was just add her to the list. You know, when COVID hit in 2020, I did on WGRamirez.com, I did three story series every month with a different theme, and the stories fell under the umbrella. And one month I did Proud Fathers, and Ryan Reeves granted me a one-on-one, and we talked about, you know, him being a father to his son and daughter. And he said, "Man, I never thought that I would be soft." And then he corrected himself because he realized what he was saying. I was like, "It's okay, Ryan. There's nothing soft about being a father." But Chelsea, you know, she's got this tough exterior. She's the point god, right? GAWD. She's the veteran. She can be tough on the exterior and sort of be vocal when needed to be in the locker room. Even Asia Wilson, you know, who's this domineering presence, sort of can tell everybody what to do. And she's, you know, she's now considered a vet, but she's younger than Chelsea. But Chelsea is shown a humanistic side that I think we all tend to feel once we become parents. The same way that Ryan Reeves did, Chelsea Gray said, you know, she was laying there on Mother's Day and she looked down. She was like, "Wow, you are my son." Like, she's still in awe of being a mother, you know, and her wife. You know, I reached out to her wife to get permission, which, you know this, Arash, once people put stuff on Instagram or Twitter, if it's not a private account, in reality, it's social media. So it's media. And you put, I mean, it's out there to, as long as you say, "Hey, this is where I got it from." Yeah. I reached out for permission to use in our story. And she said, "Absolutely, Willie, no problem." Because it was such a beautiful picture of the two of them while T was still with child. And I just think that it's like her and Becky both said, is everything goes out the window in terms of the things that you were worried about before, you know, where you leave practice, you go home and you're frustrated and your significant other sort of can understand where you're coming from because they have to, because when you're married to a professional athlete, that's what it is. But now she says she leaves practice if she has a bad practice, or she knows this season if she has a bad game. She's going home, and her son's not going to worry about that. At this age, especially, has no clue that she had a bad day. All she knows is he's looking at her like, "That's my mom." And that's, you know, the humanistic side. Again, it wasn't surprising. It's something I've talked to these younger athletes about so many times. A couple of Christmases ago, I did a story on Chandler Stephenson and Riley Smith experiencing their first Christmas as fathers, you know. So it's an entirely different mindset, and that was sort of fun to listen to her talk about, because I know what she's going through, I know what she's experiencing, I know what she's enjoying, and so that was kind of cool to hear for the umpteenth time from yet another world-class athlete.
Talking about Chelsea Gray in terms of what makes her tick on the court, you talked to Becky Hammon, got a little bit of clarity. There was a report or whatever that was said on TV that she could be out for the season. Becky told you that was not the case. What sense do you get how long Chelsea Gray will be out for. And I believe when you when we watch Las Vegas play in these first two games, two wins, they are not the same team clearly without Chelsea. So I guess a two-part question. How long do you think she will be out for, and what do they miss without her there?
Well, first and foremost, they miss leadership. Yeah. You know, they miss someone being able to hold it down or hit the key shot of a jaw-dropping pass that stops the defending team in their tracks and gets them thinking while they're on their run. So like when the Mercury made a run, when the Sparks made a run, Chelsea Gray's the type of player that maybe not take over the game, but she does something to sort of stop the other team in its tracks. She brings a focus to her that it's hard for, you know, I wouldn't say it's hard because this is such a... She's an added dimension that you have to focus on, and she's a bigger threat than some of the weapons that they already have. Jackie Young's a threat in her right. You know, Kelsey Plum obviously is a threat in her right. Alicia Clark, and now Kate Martin. But Chelsea Gray is somewhat of a package where she's going to deliver the dime to Asia, you know, when, let's say that they throw a zone at you, or, you know, they're locking things down, or she's going to hit a big shot. She's going to drive and kick. She's going to hit a floater, whatever it may be. We know that Chelsea Gray is a clutch person. What continues to drive her is just she feels like she has a bunch left in the tank. She feels as if she has championships in front of her. She feels as if her career is far from over. You know, she ranks second in the WNBA with 1,499 assists since she entered the league. She's ninth all time, but since she got in the league, she's second. So, I mean, realistically, I don't think that she thinks about those things. I think she just does her game and everything's going to fall into place. But I think right now what's driving her is knowing what Mark Davis has put into this team, what he's done to bring this team together, what others are investing into this team, the process, and that, you know, she carries a lot of the responsibility given who she is and what she's capable of doing. All of that combined drives her for a third straight championship in Vegas and a fourth overall for her.
Well, Las Vegas sold out of their season tickets. They've sold out of 15 of the 20 home games this season. We may see pretty much all those home games be sold out. I mean, the fact that we're at this point, two games into the season, is remarkable. Two games will be played at T-Mobile. Willie, do you get a sense that this team is growing to the point where this may be their last season at Michelob Ultra Arena? I mean, if they can consistently sell out that arena, which has been a great home for them, do you get the sense that they are at least looking at moving?
I think it's probably in the back of their mind. I don't think it's in the forefront. Like, I don't think it's going to happen next season or whatever. What I think is that they know that they can sell out Michelob Ultra. They have to. Here's the thing, Arash. They haven't done it consistently, right? And there's 15 of the 20. Obviously, the Caitlin Clark game sold out immediately. So the second meeting is moved to T-Mobile. But this is only one season.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the drop-off is going to be. Look at the Golden Knights. Look at the demand for the tickets in the Golden Knights. When you and I, 2017, 18, a couple of seasons later, when all of a sudden the ticket prices...
We just... You're cutting in and out. Let's see. I think hopefully.
Prior to that season. So I don't think that they're looking to move. I think obviously they're going, hey, if we continue on this pace, we're going to have to think about moving. But I think right now, knowing that they can grab T-Mobile for open dates as an option with big showdowns, like for instance, if they're in the race for the Commissioner's Cup and they know that there's a good chance they could potentially try to move it there. That would be such short notice. It's kind of difficult, but things like that, or future games against the New York Liberty, the Connecticut Sun, rivalries, you know, it really all depends, Arash, on the opponent, the dates. But down the road, 4 or 5 years from now, absolutely. Within the near future, I don't think so. I think they keep it as an option because the environment's too great. It's too loud. It's too exciting. It's too riveting. It reverberates inside that arena. And there's no reason to break that. There's no, you know, it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You've done a tremendous job of covering the league at your website, wgramirez.com. Your notebook is must read. Again, I think people from around the country that may have not been WNBA fans are now. Give us a preview what to expect in The Notebook. And again, I mean, the attention around the league. Again, your story on Chelsea Gray, it's trending to be like the most traffic story that we've had at the Sporting Tribune. And again, we cover the Dodgers and the Lakers and all these teams. What can we expect from The Notebook this week?
This week's Notebook is going to be led by what, you know, we heard at the draft, after the draft and going into training camp, just how special this rookie class is. But now we're 1 week in, and I've been on Zooms the last 48 hours talking to coaches and players just exactly how special the rookies have been and how they've showed out. I actually spoke to Caitlin Clark on Zoom. I talked to Connecticut coach Stephanie White, who is fantastic. So I've gotten some response. Angel Reese was great the other night. But when you look at what the rookies have done, Arash, across the board, right, from some of the top draft picks to the ones that aren't getting as many headlines, Elisa Peely in Minnesota, Angel Reese in Chicago, Kate Martin in Las Vegas, yeah. You know, Cam Brink with the LA Sparks. I'm going to touch on that in my notebook. Then I'm also going to talk about a very special person in the state of California who was celebrated during the Sparks and Aces game on Saturday. The greatest college basketball coach, men or women, Tara Vanderveer, was in town to see Jennifer Azey, who played for her, invited her. Cam Brink, her star the last 4 years, you know, obviously playing with the Sparks. So I'm going to touch on that. I spoke to Tara. I actually asked her, Tara, has Golden State franchise reached out to you to be their first coach? So you'll find out what she said about that. Becky Hammon and Kurt Miller also spoke about Tara. And then some tidbits. Some tidbits on other things around the league. Mika Mule, when she'll make her debut with the Seattle Storm. She's having visa issues. So a lot of good things going around the league. The WNBA is definitely something to tune in. We got sports 12 months of the year. So while you're sitting there waiting for Monday Night Football to kick off, no. We got the WNBA, and we got it covered at Sporting Tribune and WGRamirez.com.
Willie, during the playoffs, you did a Vegas Golden Knights story about how the players wear suits and how they look amazing. I got to tell you, the pregame fits for the WNBA players has been must-see. I think everyone's very intrigued by what's Kelsey Plum going to wear, what's Major Wilson, Cameron Brink, you go down the list. I'm probably teasing a story that you may do at some point this season, but I mean, how much thought has been put into that, and it does seem to be a big point of emphasis. A lot of fans are intrigued by what their favorite players will be wearing pregame.
Yeah, it's one of the most attracted posts by GQ Sports on Instagram. Put who wore it better, and they put the side by side. They do a poll throughout the week. And they find a different from the walk-ins. I mean, it's one of the most favorite parts of the WNBA players. You see it on their team social media platforms in terms of, you know, the walk-in and who wore what. And it doesn't matter whether they're dressed up. Asia Wilson's outfit on opening night was absolutely dynamic with the black and red leather look. Kelsey Plum had jaws dropping with a sort of a leather top that was open, just covering, you know, her top area with nothing underneath. But it was done so well. But more people, here's what's funny. You talk about, you know, wearing something like that, right, with nothing underneath her top, unbuttoned. But I saw more comments about her biceps and deltoids, which you and I fully appreciate the fitness look. So that's just it, is the appreciation for how they're presenting themselves in the outfits they're wearing is what I like most, and what counts really, because they put a lot of work in the off season with their muscle, with their recovery and their training and their looking if they're cutting is a prime example of someone who's a fitness guru. I really dig it. Personally, one of my favorites, if not my favorite, is Dejanae Carrington from the Connecticut Sun. I'm not sure if she's still going stylist-less, meaning no stylist. I know that a lot of them that have a lot of, you know, irons in the fire and they're busy being pulled in both ends, they have stylists or they're sponsored, right? Like Kelsey Plum, she's sponsored by Danny Garcia and her company. So it's one thing, but Dejanay Carrington is proud of the fact that, or she was, I have to check, if she goes without a stylist. And so I think that that's also something, you know, to be, commended for, is the fact that these girls put a lot of work into how they walk into the arenas, how they present themselves, how they look. And I love it. As you know, hey, let's just face it, Arash, if GQ Sports did WNBA media members, I would be on that poll. I don't know if I would win any polls, but I would be on it.
You would certainly win, my friend. Last question for you, just because it's the off season and camp's about to start. For the Raiders, the synergy that exists between these teams, following the season opener, the Las Vegas Faces did a party at Allegiant Stadium. Again, the synergy that exists there, you cover both teams. If you could describe that is something that Mark Davis has talked about.
Well, here's the thing. Owning both teams is one thing, but when the team that Mark Davis owns that has history across the board in professional sports, all in terms of, you don't even need to put the name, you just need to put the logo up there and that shield, everyone knows the Raiders. But the fact that his other team is the two-time defending champs and has set a standard for an entire league, I think it says something. So when you have Max Crosby sitting sidelines, you know, and the players coming out as much as they do, and that, it goes with the Golden Knights too, but you're right, the synergy, they held their ring ceremony party at Allegiant Stadium. It's fantastic, the support that is shown. And come this September and October, I remember when they won the championship on the road, they flashed it as time was ticking down that the Aces were the champions, and Allegiant Stadium went wild because it was the same day that the Raiders were playing. So it's a great dynamic. It's fantastic to see. It's fantastic to see support across the board. Logan Thompson's been out to the games. So, Las Vegas is buzzing right now, and it's a good thing that we have you out here when you are here.
Yeah, listen, I will be out there this month. I'll be out there a ton this summer. It's just, it is such an amazing sports town. And as you know, Willie, there was a lot of talk, you know, years and years ago, you know, could they support a team? Well, they support all their teams. And the fact that all, like, basically 15 of the 20, but, you know, we would not be surprised if all the Aces games were sold out this season. It's amazing for the support. And it's amazing the coverage that you provide. So we're lucky to have you. You're killing it. Again, Chelsea Gray, lead story on the Sporting Tribune. Check it out. Amazing must read. Willie, you're the best. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be welcomed by Grant Mota talking about Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. Grant, we're getting ready for conference finals here. We've touched on it before, but, I mean, this is the future of the NBA right in front of us now. We've got the Dallas Mavericks versus the Minnesota Timberwolves out west, the Pacers and the Celtics. Again, the one team I think we all thought that would be there would be the Celtics. Outside of that, some surprises here. Again, the Timberwolves have been a fantastic team all season, but again, I don't think until you see this play out in the postseason, do you really believe that it could happen? What's the matchup you're most looking forward to as we're getting ready for game one of the conference finals?
I'm looking forward to that Kyrie, Luka, Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns matchup. I think that that one is, I think that this series, a lot of people that I'm seeing really think that the Wolves are the far and away better team just by a large margin. And I'm going to have to disagree with that. I do think that they are better, but I think that this series is going to go six. And I think that the Pacers Celtics series is going to go six too. A lot of people have that one as a sweep or maybe in five. I really think that both of these series can be very competitive. A lot of times we think that these series are just lopsided, and most of the time they aren't. I mean, if we look at that Lakers Nuggets series, although the Nuggets won in five games, that final game that the Nuggets won was very close. The Lakers won the one before that. A lot of those games were close. So a lot of the times when we have these notions of, oh, well, it's a super team against a team that shouldn't even be there, you know, most of the time it's still a great series. I mean, look at what happened last year, Rosh, with the Miami Heat. A lot of people said, okay, great run, Miami. You got to the conference finals. Now it's the Boston Celtics time to get to the finals. And Miami went up 3-0 in that series and won that series in seven, and went on to the finals. So, well, I'm not saying that I believe Indiana is going to make the finals. I do think that it's going to be very competitive. Look, the Pacers play very well at home. They have a lot of confidence coming off of a Knicks series that they probably shouldn't have won, but they did because there's so many people hurt, and I got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah.
But in terms of Dallas and Minnesota, obviously all the odds, all the bookmakers are going to have Minnesota as the favorite, rightfully so. But Dallas, they're not just this team that made it out of nowhere. This is a team that has good size, good athleticism. They have a great coach in Jason Kidd who just signed an extension this postseason. So they have the pedigree to do it. I just think that the length of Minnesota, that's going to be a great matchup just in terms of defense, because the Mavericks had one of the better defenses in the league going down the stretch in the second half of the season after the trade deadline. And Minnesota had the number one defense all year. So both of these teams, it's going to be a defensive effort. We may see some 90 to 88 games. We may see some 95 to 93 games. But that just means that it'll be more competitive. I think all those games in that series, I don't think we'll see any blowouts. I think it'll all be within 10 to 15. I don't think we'll see anything like 20, 30, even 40, like we saw with Minnesota and Denver.
I mean, that is still surreal. You know, if, you know, I thought Denver would beat Minnesota, but the four most surprising things about that series is Minnesota wins games 1, 2, and 4. Again, you play home court. You play to get home court to get those games. You play to begin the season on your home court, get the advantage. Games 1 and 2, they drop both of those. And if it goes to game 7, you want that to be on your home court, that they lost that. For them to be able to win 3 straight and have the ability to close out that series in game 6, it's one thing to lose. But to get blown out by 45 points, I mean, that is such a staggering number. And then you go to game 7 on your home court, you got a 20-point second half lead. You lead by 20 at halftime, and you blow that. I mean, just at every turn, a shocking series. That said, Grant, on the other side, with the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics are a massive favorite. They are 10.5-point favorites in game 1. Again, to your point, you know, the Pacers weren't favored to beat the Knicks. They certainly weren't favored to go into New York to beat the Knicks. But they've just found a way. And again, like this season for them, when you go to the, you know, we joke about the like in-season tournament, but, you know, getting to the final of the in-season tournament, getting to the like, conference finals. I mean, this team is going to be a team that people are going to be watching for the foreseeable future. We thought it would happen a year or two down the line. It's happening now. What are your thoughts on the Pacers-Celtics series?
Yeah, I think the Pacers, you know, if we go back to, like you mentioned, the in-season tournament, which is now called the NBA Cup. but if we go back to the in-season tournament, the Pacers beat the Celtics at home in that in-season tournament to advance in that. I think it was the quarterfinals that they had in Indiana, and they advanced to the semifinals in Vegas. So look, the Pacers, they when they get into environments like this and, you know, for whatever reason, there's some teams that when they get into environments where there are events or where it is high stakes, they just play a lot better. I mean, there are many times throughout the regular season where the Pacers were flirting with the play-in, they were flirting with the eight seed, they were not playing up to their potential, they went on losing streaks, but then they would go on winning streaks and show this long stretch of dynamic offense and Tyrese Halliburton taking over. And I think the main factor here in this series is going to be Tyrese Halliburton. If he can perform like he did in some of those games in the Knicks series against the Celtics, I give them a puncher's chance. I'm not going to say that they're going to win, but I give them a decent chance against Boston because, like I've mentioned before, Boston has had these moments where it's like, is this the same team that I watched win 55 plus games? Is this the same team that had the one seed and the best record overall in the NBA? At times, they just take games off, which is very weird. But also, it's the fact of the matter that in those games that the Celtics have lost in this postseason, it's been hot shooting. And what can the Pacers do? They can shoot the lights out of the basketball. If there's anything that Indiana can do, they can play some great offense. And you know, I know that the Pacers have a guy in TJ McConnell that not a lot of people are talking about, but what he's been doing off the bench is really, really spectacular. He really dissected that Knicks defense and got into the paint and just created havoc. I'm curious to see how he affects the Celtics series. I'm also curious to see how Pascal Siakam plays because we all know what kind of caliber Pascal Siakam can be. He can be an all-NBA guy, but at times with Indiana, he hasn't really lived up to that. I mean, that Knicks series, he really came on towards the end, and that's a big part of why they won. And he's been there, done that. If he can be a 20-plus point-per-game guy in this series consistently, along with Tyrese Halliburton, like I said, I can give them a puncher's chance. You know, a lot of people don't even, like, look at the roster construction for Indiana. They have Miles Turner, a big that's a very good rim protector, a guy that a lot of contenders coveted before he signed his extension with Indiana. And this is a guy that can stretch the floor. He can be up there with, like, an all-star type player. And you have, like, a really good bench. You have guys like Aaron Nesmith that has played very well. Reed Shepard has been shooting the lights out of the ball. Obi Toppin is a great athletic wing. This is a team that's not just here because of a fluke. I know I mentioned the injuries that they've had to go through in terms of the Bucks and the Knicks, but this is a team that can compete. And look, at this point, Arash, with this series, the Pacers are playing with house money. Yeah. All the pressure is on Boston. Boston should be going to the finals. Boston should be overwhelming in this series, but now the pressure's on them. If I'm Indiana, I'm just going out there and saying, hey, we shouldn't even have got this far anyways. Let's just play with our house money and see where it takes us.
It's a great point. I mean, when you've had the season that they've had, you know, they can go out there and play loose, play to have fun. Again, listen, they are playing for a shot to play in the finals, but yeah, no one's expecting them to win. I'm assuming that they get a kick out of being, you know, over 10-point favorites, 10-point dogs. So we'll see how that series turns out. I want to switch gears, talk about the Dodgers. They have won four straight. They are, again, we kind of talked about how this is their favorite time of year. We would love it to be October. Maybe it will be October. But when you start getting into these months and certainly into the summer is when the Dodgers really kind of like go on this run. Four straight, Grant, what have you liked about the Dodgers so far?
Yeah, I've liked a lot of the things I've seen from their pitching staff. And a lot of the times around this time of the year, Arash, this is usually where Dodgers pitching really isn't up to par. It's really kind of shaky, and then they get it together in the second half of the year. I think this year it's a little bit of the opposite. I know that we have a lot of guys on the team in this lineup, like Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, even Will Smith is having a career year. All these guys are having great offensive years. But what I've seen from this pitching staff has been sensational. I mean, Yoshinobu Yamamoto in his last nine starts has a 2.38 ERA. A lot of people wrote him off after that South Korea start to begin the year. And since then, he has really locked in. His pitches look wicked. He's getting a lot of players to just whiff on his splitter, on his slider. His stuff looks crisp. His command is a lot better. He looks like the guy that the Dodgers signed for the biggest contract for a pitcher in MLB history. And we got to remember that this is his first year in the major leagues, and he's doing this kind of stuff. So I expect him to only get better. Tyler Glasnow, while he has had some issues here and there with his command, he has still looked like the ace of the staff. James Paxton, a guy that not a lot of people have really thought about in the offseason, obviously because of all the big names that have went, James Paxton has been a revelation for this team. I mean, he has an under 3 ERA. He hasn't lost this season. He looks like a great kind of connector piece that we thought Clayton Kershaw could be, and Clayton Kershaw could be coming back soon. The Dodgers have a lot of arms coming back soon, Arash. Dustin May is going to start throwing off of a mound. Evan Phillips might be doing a rehab assignment soon. Bobby Miller is throwing simulated games in Arizona. They have a lot of arms now coming back, and they will probably have a fully healthy and full strength pitching staff by August. Clayton Kershaw's ramping up. He's been throwing a lot. So this team, and with Walker Buehler looking like that last start that Walker Buehler had, that's his best start that I've seen from him, even in his rehab outings, since that 2022 season. So if he can continue to get better as well, I mean, this pitching staff, there's a high ceiling on it. And not just the pitching staff in the starting rotation, the bullpen has been great. I mean, the bullpen has had, I think, a sub-2 ERA for a better part of the month. And they have just really kind of hunkered down and locked down a lot of these games. Alex Vesia has a sub-2 ERA. Even without Evan Phillips, Blake Treinen has barely... I don't think he's allowed an earned run this year. Mm. And Daniel Hudson's come on strong, too. So this pitching staff, while a lot of the talk was about the offense and the MVP finalists in that lineup, this pitching staff from top to bottom has really, really come on strong, which is what we haven't seen in years past. Usually it's the second half where they get it together.
You know what the best part of this winning streak has been is that I discovered this $5 panda plate that the Dodgers have. And granted, yeah, you know, we've joked about this. I mean, like, I never know when some of these tweets that I have will go viral. And I certainly didn't think this would be one. But I basically did a public service and I said, hey, listen, times are tough. The $5 footlong hasn't been a thing for like well over 10 years. By the way, Grant, I had to look that up because obviously, you know, you go get a footlong from Subway now and it's like 10 bucks.
Wild.
They stopped that back in 2014. I'm like, damn, it's been 10 years since we have a $5 footlong. So anyways, when the Dodgers win a home game, you can get a panda plate. And so the panda plate, you know, basically, you know, two entrees, I think. So basically, you know, I got chow mein, you know, you pick between chow mein and fried rice. And then I got the orange chicken and the beef and broccoli. So that's a nice little meal there. I took a picture of it. $5. And so, you know, listen, if you're driving around, and apparently it's not just Los Angeles County. Someone in Vegas said that it worked for them. Someone in the DOC, Fullerton. So, I mean, just test it out. If you got the Panda Express app, the code is the Dodgers win. And again, we're not, they're not a sponsor yet. By the way, if someone from Panda Express is tuning in, contact us. But no, I mean, it's just like legitimately times are tough. And so you got a $5 a panda plate. Have you tried it, Grant? You're a healthy man. Have you tried it? And did I inspire you to perhaps get a panda plate today?
Listen, I haven't tried it, but I love Panda Express. I may try it. But Arash, you know what's funny is that before the season, the Dodgers, it was kind of like a sneaky announcement. The Dodgers, with all their off-season announcements, yeah, it's kind of crazy. There's a sneaky announcement where for a Jumbo Jack, because usually if it's, I think it was eight strikeouts and you get a free Jumbo Jack, they lowered that to 7.
Ooh.
So the Dodgers have been getting free Jumbo Jacks after 7 strikeouts by Dodger pitchers a lot this year.
Wow.
Much like I was talking about with the pitching rotation, there's a benefit for the fans as well. So you can, I think there was a game, and I remember my father texting me this, where the Lakers won and they held the team under 111. So you could get free tacos.
That's right.
And then you could also, the Dodgers also won. So you could get a Jumbo Jack. And now if the Dodgers win, you could get a Panda Express plate. So you could get all of that for $5, $6. which is crazy. That's a full meal for $6. And look, I know that concession prices are really high nowadays, and rightfully so with all the talent on the team. But if they can give back anything in any way, I'm all for it. I mean, I think they should give back a lot of these things. And I didn't even know about it until you tweeted about it. So that's a really cool deal.
It's a great deal. So it replaced the CPK deal that they had a year ago last season, where if the Dodgers won, there was a free, you know, small CPK pizza. Now, the issue with that one was you had to go into CPK and the dine in. So this wasn't a takeaway deal, and you had to buy a drink, which was effectively going to be $4 or $5. But so listen, I think the Panda Express deal is the superior deal. I enjoyed it. I might try it again today. And then the other thing about the two free tacos, you know, it used to be like back in the day where they would hand you the coupon. Now, if the Lakers win and hold the opponent to under 111, I think you just have to go in there and say, you know, hey, give me my two free tacos. So, yes, listen, if you can get fed for free by your favorite team winning, that's fantastic. And by the way, listen, if you're a Clippers fan like Grant, you should enjoy those for free tacos regardless. Speaking of the Clippers.
And the free Chick-fil-A, too.
Because
the Clippers, if you miss two free throws in the fourth, you get free Chick-fil-A. Sometimes, Arash, the team is getting blown out, but people are going crazy for that Chick-fil-A. So I'll take that as...
Hey, by the way, Boban was already a fan favorite. Was that like the last home game of the year in Boban?
Boban is a man of the people. He rarely gets any playing time, but the Clippers were getting, I think they were losing. It was the final game of the series. Nobody was playing. And Boban comes in off the bench and he points to the crowd and says, I will get you your Chick-fil-A, and misses two free throws on purpose to get the fans free Chick-fil-A. So he's a man of the people and a Clipper legend.
He is. And so that was just really great to see. Want to bring this up real quick just to get your thoughts. Again, it's not a big story, but the Clippers are losing an assistant coach. He's going to Chicago. Whenever an assistant coach basically makes a lateral move, I begin to wonder, like, if he's concerned. Again, I don't think Ty is going anywhere. I think Ty Lue will be back. Real quick, and what did you think about that? Again, from a lot of the Clipper fans that I've talked to, like, they said he was one of the top, if not the top assistant for Ty Lue.
Yeah, he was basically the defensive guru. He was the guy that put up all the defensive plans, Dan Craig, and he came from the Spoelstra tree. He was an assistant under Eric Spoelstra, and he went under Ty Lue, and he was instrumental in a lot of the defensive things that the Clippers have had. And look, you can look at the defensive numbers and say, oh, well, the Clippers never had a good defense anyways. I mean, it wasn't really his fault for that. I think it was just personnel. He even filled in a lot of the times for Coach Lue when he was out sick or when he wasn't feeling well for pressers. Dan Craig would fill in. It's a big loss. It's kind of a bigger loss than people are making it out to be, just because like you mentioned, it wasn't for a head coaching job. He went to another team to be an assistant coach. He went to the Chicago Bulls to be an assistant there. So while the Chicago Bulls are kind of revamping their coaching staff under Billy Donovan, it was a bit weird to see him leave, not for a head coaching job, because I think that he could have been a great head coach, but just to leave for an assistant job. Now that's a big role they have to fill. I know Frank Vogel's out there, but I don't think that Coach Lue would be in favor of them hiring Vogel under him, because it would kind of give the sense like, hey, if you leave, we got your replacement. So I don't know if that's the right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I do believe Ty Lue will be back, but whenever you have an assistant coach leaving for another assistant job, it's basically, and again, this is historically speaking, maybe not specific to this, it's that, listen, this coach is on the hot seat, or this coach may not come back, or this is a lame duck coach. And so, like, I'm going to go to a situation where I have a little bit more job security. So, again, don't know what that means, but to Grant's point, again, he was one of the top assistants or the top assistant for Ty Lue when you know, Ty couldn't do a press conference. He was the guy who filled in. So we'll see how all that plays out. Just a reminder, Panda Express. Okay, if you learn one thing on the show today, and if you live in Southern California, and apparently even Vegas and who knows? Try it in Hawaii. Maybe it'll work there. So, yeah, enjoy that on us. All right, Grant, you're the best. We'll have you back on tomorrow. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Treat dad to the good stuff at Nordstrom Rack and save big. Father's Day is Sunday, June 16th, and Nordstrom Rack's got gifts dad will love, up to 60% off. Shirts, activewear, watches, cologne, denim, and more. Find amazing deals on Tommy Bahama, Cole Haan, Original Penguin, and Vince. Great brands, great prices. So get to your Nordstrom Rack store now and make dad's day with gifts up to 60% off.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.